Now today is what do we call a booster dose, all right, of the series of sermon that our church has been going through. All right, so we have been going through, you know, a sermon series that is related to a church. Right, what do you mean by a church, and what do you mean by a local church, and what do we do in a church? Right, so the local church is a center. It's a primary center for worship. It's a center where we have fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a place where we train up ourselves to be evangelistic, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the people around us. It is a place where we make disciples of one another, following Jesus and His word. And this is a place where we have ministry, where we serve one another within the church context and also outside of the church, to the ministries of the church, whether it is a homeschool setting or whether it is a boys' brigade setting, whether it is a CG setting and other community services. We have the preaching and the teaching of the word. That's where you have a Sunday service. It's not called a Sunday to be served. It is called a Sunday service because we come here to serve one another. And this is a place also where we have the teaching of the word, whether it is the Bible study or in the CG group. So this is the function of the local church. And the local church is called a local church because we have appointed leaders or ordained leadership in the church. And we practice the ordinances, which is the water baptism and also the Lord's Supper. All right. So the church, the local church, is different from a connect group. It's different from a cell group because cell group cannot have water baptism and Lord's Supper. All right, so that is the main difference. And local church is a community. It's a church. It's a group of people that comes from different background, and we are connected together in the name of Jesus. And after that, we understand that we have gone through about 5 sermons. All right, the second sermon, the Power Prayer by Deacon Bruce, that talks about worship. Last year, since July all the way to September, we talked about vital worship, the power of prayer, the purpose of worship, and the lifestyle of worship. And lastly, how do we express worship in the way? The givers who please God. All right. So as we worship God, it's not only to sing, it is a lifestyle and it results in giving. All right. Whether it's giving of your time, giving of the tithes and offering what belongs to God, and also it is giving of our talents for the ministry of God. Then after that, we move on from October until January, the first Sunday. We talk about fellowship. We talk about a church with a mission, why we are here, why we are called a church. And we talk about fellowship and whether we have done it wrongly, fellowship. And of course, we talk about a second chance at life, that we are here, we are all given a second chance again, a second chance to life. And of course, we talk about what binds us together in fellowship, which is the ordinances of the church, the water baptism, and partaking of the Lord's Supper together. And lastly, we concluded by how do we become a community formed through the gospel. However we live, it must be based on how Jesus Christ Himself has modeled after us. So how can we be that? So we have concluded in a way what we need to cover under fellowship. Now, before we move into discipleship or Bible study or the importance of it, that's where we come about today. And last week, we had the privilege to have Pastor In-ho Kim from all the way from Korea, all right, to bless us with his word. And the one takeaway that has been a reminder for us, especially for me, that even though we may think that we are small, insignificant, but the scriptures clearly says that we are not a grasshopper. We are not a grasshopper. We are not insignificant. We are not without a purpose here on earth. All right, so if you have been following us, if you have been here last Sunday, this is in a way a follow-up of that Sunday. All right, so we have Joshua and Caleb who were not afraid of the, you know, people in the Canaan land. We have the 10 spies that claim that they are like grasshoppers in their own eyes. And Joshua and Caleb in the book of Numbers said that they should go in and they should conquer the land because that is the land that the Lord God has promised them. But the 10 spies said that, you know, they are too strong for us. So in our world today, as a Christian, as we leave the church setting, is your life one that is appealing to those who do not know God. When the people who do not know God look at our life, are they looking at a grasshopper? Or are they looking at a life that is victorious? There are two main points this morning. To be a triumpher, first and foremost, you must know who you belong to. Joshua and Caleb, Numbers, mentioned that they know exactly who their Lord God is. Do you know who you belong to? And before we go into our passage this morning, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, just prior to Matthew chapter 4, right? This happened before Jesus was led to be tempted in the wilderness. All right, so to be a triumpher, to be victorious in our life, regardless of the suffering, regardless of the challenges, the trials, the temptations that we are going through, to win, to be triumphant, to be a conqueror, we first must know who we belong to. So in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, let me read to you. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." So Jesus, in this portion of the scripture, made known to us who he belonged to. So this is the God whom we are worshiping this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are worshiping the Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, the Trinity, the concept of Trinity. And in this passage, this is one of the very important passages where we see all three members of the Trinity being present. And we'll talk more about the concept of Trinity in our next series. And this is the God whom we are worshiping, and this is the God whom we belong. So first and foremost, to be triumphant, we need to know who we belong to. So do you know? Who do you belong to this morning? Tell your neighbor, ask your neighbor, do you know who do you belong to? Noah. Now the second point, this is where we were going to Matthew chapter 4. The second point, what we can learn from Jesus Christ himself is that we need to know the scripture well. To be victorious in our life, to be a triumpher, we need to know our scripture well. So in our ups and downs of our life, we will know how to make decisions. How to make wise decisions that will honor and glorify God. Now, if any of you know where these verses are taken from in the Old Testament, come to me after the service, and I blanja you a meal. All right? It's taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, 7, and 10. Jesus quoted from three different passages in the Old Testament, and if you know your scripture well, if you can tell me, right, come to me after the service, and I'm going to blanja you a meal. Now, Jesus was tempted and he triumphed. He was tempted and he was triumphed. Now, this is very important. This is very important for our faith. Because we cannot surrender our life to a God who don't understand us. We cannot surrender our life to a God who haven't gone through life as us. We cannot say that God understands us until he became man and he was tempted, but yet he triumphed. This is the God, Jesus Christ, is the one who was tempted and triumphed, and that is why all the more we have the reason to trust in him, because when he says he understands us, he truly understands us. When he says that he has gone through all this and he has victorious over all this, he is saying to us that we will go through all this and we can too be victorious in his name. And Hebrews chapter 4 verses 15 and 16 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. So let us then approach God's thrones of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we can trust in Jesus Christ because he has gone through all the temptations, the three categories of temptations that we are going through, that Eve had to go through since the beginning. And if you think that the evil one is very smart, let us go into our passage this morning, and you will notice that no matter what method that he uses, the evil one uses, it always boils down to three. Just three categories. And out of the challenges and out of the temptation that we may face in our life, you can boil it down again to these three. It all started back in the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ was tempted. The same three categories. And today I believe we are tempted in these same three categories. So how do we outwit, how do we outplay, and how do we outlast the evil one? Let us read through Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11 now. Let me read to you. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." If you know where this verse comes from, let me know. You have a meal. In verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Again, if you know where this is from, let me know. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." The last part. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Now Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Now there are certain similarities that we can see between the temptations of Eve and Jesus. And most probably to some of us today, we know that, you know, Chinese New Year has just gone. There was always this temptation to eat, breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, tea time. You know, we have a very good meal and a gathering. And, when we talk about diet after the Chinese New Year, this is the time where we go for diet, right? So temptations of Eve and Jesus involve eating, right? Temptation was by Satan, and there was a temptation to go against God's word. And there was a temptation to believe the devil and to gain power. Now, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, the serpent, right? He approached the woman and said, "Did God really say," casting doubt, "did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And then the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say that you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to the husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked, and fig leaves together and make coverings from themselves. So this is what happened in the Garden of Eden, the conversation between Eve and the serpent. So if we are not knowledgeable, if we do not know the word of God truly, we are going to be in trouble, just as Eve did. Three categories. Again, it is boiled down to these three. And first John has summarized it for us. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and again, you will notice this pattern in the scripture that we are going to read later in your life until the end of time. It is going to be these three categories always. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desire pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So in Cantonese, we have this phrase, right? Alright, so it literally means that an old trick is fine as long as it works. As long as it works. It worked on Eve. It worked since the beginning of time. And I believe it works even today, although it can be a different form. But ultimately, the three categories are the lust of the flesh, that you want to fulfill what your flesh wants. The lust of the eyes, whatever you see, you want to take possession of it. And the pride of life, to feel good and to say that this is my accomplishment. So the first point, triumphant. How do we outwit the evil one? I'm going to go slightly faster here. So for some of us, we may think that, no problem, right? Hungry, find food, or create food. That's like the routine. Right? There's no big deal by the devil asking Jesus to, you know, just make food lah. You're hungry, ma, right? After 40 days of fasting, 40 nights, Jesus, you are hungry. And if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So what's the problem? The problem here involves the love of God and the will of God. After 40 days of prayer, fasting, do you not think that God will feed him? This is where the devil comes in and say that, you know, since you are God's beloved son, why doesn't your father feed you? You're hungry, ma? Your father should provide for you, ma? Why does he put you in this terrible wilderness? I'm trying to, think from the tempter's perspective, right? So this could be some of the voices that Jesus may listen. And ultimately, the underlying problem is that the devil, the tempter, is saying to us that our Father in heaven does not love us. Why are you in your mess today? Your Father doesn't love you. Why do you still trust in him? He cannot be trusted. Since you have a need, find your own way to fulfill your need. Use your divine powers to meet your own needs. God doesn't love you. How many of us was challenged when we are in our deepest valley? When we were in our darkest moment of our life? That suddenly there's a still small voice that says that, you know, your God doesn't love you. He doesn't bring you through. Settle your own problem by yourself. God is silent. So we sin when we allow circumstances to dictate our actions instead of following God's will. Many of us will not be able to say this, but if Jesus turned the stones into bread, he can, he could, he would be exercising his powers independently of the Father. Because the Father did not want him to turn stones into bread. That's the first point. The Father doesn't want him to take things into his account in that sense. To take matters into his own hands. Because ultimately in verse 11, we see that the angels attended to Jesus. Ultimately, the angel attended to Jesus. So God has a plan. God has a will. And Jesus knew God. Jesus knew his will. And that is why he was tempted to trust in himself. He was tempted to use his own power to meet a personal and also a worldwide need. He is tempted, just like we were. And many of us, we were tempted as well, that we want to seek the favor of God's. Thai Pusum just came, you know, just was just over, and then our Chinese New Year, we have Chow Gao, you know, Gao Wong Ye and all this. We see a lot of people trying to earn favor. Trying to earn favor from the gods. And by trying to earn favor from the gods, they are hoping that the gods will truly bless them with prosperity, answered prayers, whatever. They go through all kinds of trouble. They go through all kinds of actions to show that they are serious in their faith. Brothers and sisters, if we want to know how serious God's love is to us, look at one place. Look at the cross. Instead of us trying to come before God, earning His favor, God came down. Settled our problem so that we can belong to Him. So if you ever doubt God's love for you, in the deepest moment, in the darkest moment of your life, look at the cross. Look at the cross and see that Christ has already died for us. He doesn't have to, but He chose to. And the reason for Him to be motivated all the way to the cross is because it is the Father's will, and it is because He loves us. So to be a triumpher, you need to know the scripture well. You need to understand and be reminded that God Himself is love. And He first loves us. Whether we love Him or not, whether we believe Him or not, whether we are willing to surrender our life to Him or not, He chose to love us first. And if you can remember Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And today, every day, every moment of our life, the word that comes out from the mouth of the Lord, the scripture, the Bible that you have, is supposed to feed us spiritually. So the challenge today is, do we study the Word of God? We often try to prove who we are. We often try to act in our own strength, in our own ability. We very often stress upon our physical needs over the spiritual needs. And we are often tempted to trust ourselves and not God. So the first reflection point this morning is that are we outwitting our enemy by studying God's word so that we can meet any situation with confidence? Do you know your Bible enough to outwit the tempter, the evil one? The second part, how do we outplay the tempter? Now, he up his game. That's what we call. He up his game. So you want to use scripture. Okay, fine. I will deal with you in scripture. And true enough, the tempter said that, you know, he quoted from Psalm chapter 91, verses 11 to 12. Right? And he actually challenges Jesus, you know, if you really believe the scripture, jump. Because the scripture did say that if you jump, right, He will command His angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Wow, powerful. So if you believe in God's word, your word, jump. And let's see if the Father cares for you. We are in the losing battle. How many of us spend enough time in the Word of God? Because the devil can quote the scripture. He can memorize the scripture from the beginning until the end and from the end until the beginning. He can intentionally miss out certain words so that, you know, we cannot identify if it is true or not unless we have a deep grounding in the Word of God. So this is his second, right? His second attempt. That he tries to, you know, tempt Jesus in a way. And if you turn to Psalm chapter 91, this is what we have posted in our church, especially during the COVID time. Right? This is a passage where the you know, those who believe in God, you know, we have the promises of God that God will protect us, and that's where you have 10,000 may fall at your side in verse 7, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you, and you will be able to see the punishment of the wicked. And if you say the Lord is my refuge, and if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion. Wow, this is great promises. Very powerful Psalm chapter 91. He conveniently left out certain points and certain pretexts. If you say that the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, meaning to say if you put your trust in the Lord, this is what is going to happen. And the evil one conveniently took that out. So it is very dangerous for us to take one part of the scripture and read it as it is. He did that. If we are not careful, we can fall into the same trap also. And if Jesus jumped, he would have tempted God to misuse his power. Again, it was not God's will for him to jump. It was God's will for him to die. And Jesus was tempted to have the people's attention on the spectacular. He was at the highest point of the temple where if there is a miracle happening there and then, what will happen to the people? Without going through the 3.5 years, you know, Jesus' life on earth, the people will turn to Jesus and may proclaim him as God. Because they are able to see that the angels can look after Jesus, because God sent them. But is this what God's will is? To be a triumpher, once again, you need to know the scripture well, and this is where Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. The people of Israel, the Israelites, after they left Egypt, they questioned God again and again and again and again and again. So do not put the Lord your God to the test. But we always like to do that. We always like to do that. Right? So the diabetic may refuse to take insulin, you know. Jesus will take care of me. Even though the doctor say you need to take certain amount of insulin before you have your meal. But no, I'm going to trust God. You know, God is going to take care of me. And you are tempting God, basically. You are tempting God with your life. And of course, there's this very famous one, right? Where there's a deceased Christian believer. You know, when he entered heaven, he asked God, you know, why didn't you save me from the flood? He drowned in the flood. Right? Why didn't you save me from the flood? And God told him that, you know, I've sent weather reports. I've sent the flood warnings. I have sent the call for evacuation. I've sent the boat to you. I've sent the motorboat to you. I even sent the helicopter to you. But you say that my God will save me. How am I supposed to work? I've sent 6-7 warnings to you. And yet, you did not believe. So sometimes we often, as believers, we also will put ourselves into circumstances that hopefully God will make miracles. Driving 160 in the highway. Okay, some of you laugh, so you understand. We often put ourselves into places where we will tempt God. We are going to challenge God that God will save me so I can do however I want. So brothers and sisters, are we outplaying our enemy by studying God's word as a whole, knowing that all of it is profitable in our daily life, for our daily life? If we are not careful, we are going to go into trouble because we have taken God's word out of context and hoping for a miracle. And lastly, how do we outlast the evil one? If you would bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this, everything that you see. And Jesus replied to him, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So what's the problem? Again, the tempter offered Jesus a shortcut to his kingdom, because he could have all of this if he just chose to worship the tempter. Just worship. But we know worship comes with service as well. If you worship God, you will serve God. If you worship the evil one, you will serve him. If you worship the world, you will serve the world. Alright, so again, he missed out, he took out certain things. So if we are not careful, we can easily fall into this problem. Alright, so Christ was tempted to allow the world to remain corruptible and to die with no hope of eternal life with God. So that is the ultimate temptation. So challenge for us today is that we must never compromise our loyalty to God. He was tempted to switch sides, easy way out. And the tempter always wanted us to live for the world only. To do our very best for our life here on earth, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. That's it. Work hard on this. And he wants us to forget that we have an eternal life that we need to care for in our life here as well. How is our spiritual walk with God today? And very often, the devil, the tempter is going to rob that from us. Live your life here now. 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 Focus on the now instead of what is to come. Fear the Lord your God. This is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 13. And serve him only and take your oath under his name. So the challenges today is that we often choose shortcuts. We often choose conveniences over the teaching of the scripture. Even, you know, when we want to have Bible study, there will be, you know, shortcuts. There will be conveniences, right? We want to come here when we are convenient. We want to have a time that is convenient to all. But again, no issue on that. But if we are not willing to sacrifice certain point of our life to come together and to study God's word, then we are going to have a problem. And we want to have a share in the glory, but we don't want to share in the suffering. And sometimes, very often, and most of the time, we want to work hard for our life here on earth only, which is destined to live, we are destined to live forever. So be reminded that you and I, when we go up to heaven one day, when the time comes, we are going to see each other. If we say that we belong to God, if we have truly trusted our life to God, we will see one another in heaven. Amen. So the last reflection point that I have for you is that are we outlasting our enemy by placing our loyalties in God and worshipping him alone? We know what will happen to the devil. We are going to outlast him. But in our life here on earth, are we actually outlasting him? The devil knows just where to tempt a person. Whether you are in the wilderness, whether you are at the highest point in your life right now, where you have your career, your finances, everything work out for the next 20, 30, 40 years, all the way to your death in a way, your children well taken care of, or whether you are on the high mountain where you seem to have access to all this. Again, three categories. The lust of the flesh, the need, the want to fulfill your needs, your flesh, your food, your pleasure. On the highest point of the temple, the pride of life. On the high mountain, the lust of the eyes. Again and again and again, three same categories. There are so many scams in the world today. If we are not careful, we are going to fall into them. If we are not being knowledgeable of what is available, what is going on around, we are going to be easily tempted. And the latest that I heard is a dato being tempted, being scammed for 23.4 million or something like that. 23.4 million. But we thank God that the Bible reminded us, warned us, and that we are going through and we will go through, whether now or in the future, temptations. And temptation to us is like the Christian's master of divinity. So as we graduate from this life here on earth, we are going to congratulate each other in heaven by saying that you have gained your master in divinity because you have won over all this temptation. Moving forward, we will talk about doctrine so that you will know who this God we are worshipping. We will talk about the deity of Christ, the original sin, the canon of scripture, the concept of Trinity, the resurrection of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, new creation and eschatology, the word doctrine. So as we close for today, let us be reminded that we are called to walk in constant fellowship with Jesus Christ. And as we walk with Christ, the Bible is essential. If we want to be a triumpher, first and foremost, we need to know who do we belong to. And most of us, we have cleared that, but we know that we belong to God. The challenges always come in the second part. How do we outwit, outplay, and outlast the tempter, the evil one? By knowing the scripture well. So let's continue to live in a life in constant confession, knowing that we have fallen short of God's glory. We need to repent and come back to Him if we have missed our time with Him daily. And in a constant praise of Jesus Christ, His person, His mercy, His grace, and His work on the cross, so that we can continue to live a life that is honoring and pleasing God. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we want to thank you for giving us Jesus Christ as the ultimate example that we can follow after. That Lord, the first Adam and Eve, they have failed when they are challenged with these three categories of temptation by the tempter. And Lord, you have made it possible for Jesus Christ to go through all these three categories as well and yet emerge victorious. Lord, we know that it is very important for us to know who we belong to, and that, Lord, we know our scripture well. Then when trials and temptation comes, we can face them with confidence. We will be able to outwit it. We will be able to outplay. And we will be able to outlast the tempter, the evil one. And Lord, we want to thank you for the trials that you have placed in our life. That Lord, you use it to build up our character. And we want to thank you for the strength and the wisdom to go through the temptations that you have allowed the tempter to put in our life as well. And Lord, we know that you do not tempt us, but you have allowed all this to happen so that ultimately, Lord, our character is built up to be more and more like your Son. And Lord, truly we ask that you grant us your wisdom to manage our time well so that we can spend time in your word. And as we dig into your word and as we understand your word, Lord, we can truly win over the battle, especially against the tempter and temptations. So Lord, help us if we are in trouble right now. Help us and guide us. Because Lord, you say that we can fight away or we can run away from this tempter because you will grant us the strength. And that Lord, you will deliver us from all this. So help us, O Lord, if we are in one. And we pray that, Lord, your Spirit will be with us and guide us as we go through our life here on earth. Knowing that, Lord, all this is in preparation for our eternal life. So, Lord, we want to thank you for the message. We want to thank you for the time. We want to thank you for the people who have learned about your word this morning. We pray that, Lord, you will be a blessing to them, that, Lord, you will appear to them, that you will make it possible for them to cling on to you, to hold on to you when they need you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.